We've been talking about the kinyanim for karka and metaltin the last few weeks. We said karka, real estate, you can acquire with kesef, shtar, chazaka. We've been dealing with kesef and shtar mainly metaltin. We said midaraisa, kesef works. The chachamim made a takana that you should use meshicha. But even with that, if someone pays the cash for metaltin, even though they didn't make a kinyan yet, if they would renege on the deal at that time, they would be chayav mishapara. So bottom line is, cash is meaningful both in a real estate transaction. We said if it's a place where they write contracts, it could be that they need to have a contract to finally culminate the sale, but there also there'll be a misha para. And it's also meaningful in metatil, even though it doesn't make a transaction, it doesn't affect the transaction, but at least it gives the person, both the buyer and the seller, the responsibility of a misha para. It's a klala they get if they renege on the deal. So tonight we want to see what a check does. If you write a check to buy real estate, does that make it a good sale? And if you write a check for metaltolin, will that at least force you to go through with it unless you are willing to accept the misha para? That's the topic tonight. What does a check do? What is a check? I'm open to suggestions. By the way, before we start, just to know, it's not a little topic. This sefer here, the Mishpatech Yaakov, that Yehuda brought back, has 85 pages on it. The regular ones have, you know, the Tzichot, they all talk about it. The main sefer I'm using tonight, I should say in the beginning, because I did a lot of cheating, and there's this sefer that just came out this year, and in the back of it there's a section called HaChek B'Halacha. And the sefer is Be'er HaMish, but at the back there's a section HaChek B'Halacha, which is 135 pages. So we're going to try to, in the next 40 minutes, to tell you what it says. Okay, that's tonight's deal. I'll tell you what I was thinking first before I started working on it. I agree with you. It doesn't seem to be cash, right? Because you can call it back. And what is it? Let's think what you're doing, right? What you're doing when you're writing a check, and just read the words. Pay to the order of Reuven $100. And who are you telling that to? You're telling your bank. You're telling your bank, look, bank, you are working for me. There's a shiloh with the relationship with the bank is exactly, but for sure the bank is holding my money. They might even be considered my borrower of mine. I might be lending them the money, but they are holding my money, and I am telling the bank, pay to the order of so and so this amount of money, and he goes to the bank and they do what I asked him to do. Now there's a whole system. He doesn't have to go to my bank, he go to his bank, and they'll work it through with the whole way it works with the Federal Reserve System. Pashtus, but what the check is doing, it's just telling, it's an order to tell my bank to pay. And in fact, one of the svarim bring down, and this is, if lemaisa it's true, that you don't have to use a check. You can take a piece of paper, and you write on the piece of paper, pay to the order of this and this, and he can take you the check. They might not like it, but they have to honor it, because I gave them with my signature, and I'm telling them to go to my bank, and that's, we get hung up that the check is like something official. But would you say if I scribbled something on a piece of paper and told my bank to pay you money that would be a kesef? I don't think so. So is it a shtar? So is it a shtar? Well, let's kesef. I don't think it is. So you won't say it's a shtar. It's due now. It's due now. It's June 4th. Well, let's first see if this is a shtar, and then we'll talk about what a shtar is. I don't think it's a shtar. A shtar says that I owe you money. Or, we're talking about a sale here. We said that you can acquire karka with a shtar. How's that work? That means the seller says, I am hereby selling my field to you. I'm hereby selling my house to you. Like our contract we spoke about, where the seller writes a contract saying that through the consideration of this money, I'm conveying my property. That's what a shtar is. This isn't a shtar to buy a karka where I just, even if you call it a shtar, it's not the shtar that helps you buy a property. And it's not even a shtar chov, l'chora, because a shtar chov says, I owe you money. I'm not saying I owe you money here. I'm just giving my bank an order to pay this person money. That doesn't seem to be a shtar either. And even if it was a shtar, it wouldn't be the type of shtar that would make a kinyan for karka. Now, one third possibility, which everyone would say, I'm surprised no one said it, is what happened to dina de malchusa dina? Right? We have a rule that in certain cases, the law of the land governs over even Jewish transactions. It is very limited, the law, but does it apply here? So, I asked some lawyers about this, and someone dropped me off of this big book about commercial transactions. And what I saw in it was, that even if Dino de Malchusa would apply here, even if the law of the land would apply here, I think the law of the land does not recognize a check as a transaction, as a something that effects a transaction. I'll read you from the UCC code, or from this book that quotes it. Giving credit to a seller's account. This is talking, this is Dino de Malchusa. What happened is someone wrote you a bank, and you both have the accounts in the same bank, right? You both have accounts in Bank of America. He gave you a check. You took the check to your account, the Bank of America, and they posted it, right, to your account. But really, the truth is, it's not effective until midnight, until they make sure the drafter of the check has money in the account, and then that's called final payment at that point, at midnight or whenever they decide that it is covered. So they said, when you give credit to the seller's account, it says that's not payment, in a sense that the drawer, the buyer, has effected payment to a holder and is discharged on the instrument under UCC 3-603. Payment in this sense occurs only when the bank makes final payment of the check, when it finally transfers the funds. Completing that process results in final payment, and then the buyer is discharged of his obligation to pay. So even Dina Malchusa, a check, is like we're saying, it's the agency, it's shlichus, that we're just telling you, I'm telling my bank, pay them. When the bank pays them, so then, according to Dina Malchusa, then that person has the property, has the money, and the kinyan should work. Until that time, according to Dina Malchusa, the kinyan has not been made. Now, in the Sfarim bring down, in some places, there is a rule they bring from Scottish law, that according to Scottish law, when you give a check, it's considered a payment, but there's been no transfer of funds. Right? They make some type of chiluk there, which doesn't apply in halacha. I don't know what it means either. But they said that it's a payment, but it was without a transfer of funds. But at this point, it seems a check is not cash. A check is not a typical shtar chov. It's not a typical document of debt, and certainly it won't work to be the document through which you can acquire real estate, because that's not the way it works. And thirdly, even if you want to say Dina de Malchusa would apply here, which I would not be so sure that it would, the law of the land also says that a check is not an effective means of making a transaction. It's only effective when there's final payment, when the money is finally given over to the seller's, in this case, in the seller's account. So it seems that Alpi Halacha, it would be that if you write a check to someone for real estate or for movable objects, it will not require you to do anything. It will not be a kinyan at that time. And if someone does it, they won't have a Misha Tara. They won't get that curse for going back on their payment because they didn't make a payment. They didn't do anything. They stopped the order. The check is dead. Okay, so that's what we have so far. The Poskim give three possibilities of what a check could accomplish. And tonight also we're going to start on the second side of the handout. And we'll see the three things. We'll see the Gemara that was on the front soon. The first set of Poskim on the handout say, like we were saying right from the beginning, that a check is just shlichus, it's just an agency, it's just an order for me to my bank to pay that person, and as such, it would not affect the transaction, it would not seem to do anything. It's just I'm telling my bank to do it. This is coming from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the Torah's Ribbis, that's to say written by Rav Moshe Hirschler. So he has a sefer on Ribbis, he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he's a pasuk in his own right, and he says that writing a check is just telling your bank, pay to the order of this person. But it's not an effective kinyan as Kesef. He's talking about halachas of Ribbis. He said it won't be of Shmith, I think he was talking about it won't. Anyway, he's talking about Ribbis. It has the applications to interest, to Shemitah, all kinds of applications. But his bottom line is, a check is just telling the bank to give this person that money when he comes to get it from you. The Kisei Choshen also seems to agree with him at first. And that seems to be one opinion. But it's a minority opinion. Because Rav Moshe and others say a check is cash. Rav Moshe had a shaila that someone, right, this year is a Shemitah year, and the law is that when Rosh Hashanah comes this year, if you owe someone money, someone owes you money, the loans are canceled. That's the rule of Shemitah. The loans are canceled. Suppose someone owes you money, but the week before Rosh Hashanah, they gave you a check to pay back the loan, and you didn't cash it yet. So now Rosh Hashanah comes. Did you lose your loan because, unless you were a pro's bowl, but did you use your loan because you didn't cash the check in time? And he says, I mean, the yes, Shilas, even if it's not just someone who owes you money, even if it's you sell something and, you know, they give you a check for it, is that check, maybe you lent them money now. Right. So Ramosha says it's no problem. Once you get a check, when he gives you a check, it's like he gave you cash. It's like it's all over. You now have payment. He can cancel the check. But he says, well, if he cancels the check, that's no problem. Because if he cancels the check, now he's going to owe you money because he canceled the check. And that loan is going to be a new loan that's going to happen after Shemitah. So either way, he says, you would be able to collect from him. But his first assumption is that this check is cash. Now, how could the check be cash? Yeah?
I don't know how it would be a new loan because... Are you going to have to wait a minimum? Are you going to have to give the guy a minimum 30 days to pay back?
Okay, right. Well, whatever it is.
So I'm saying you have to give the guy another minimum 30 days to pay back and be considered a new loan?
Maybe you would. His main halacha is he wants to say it's cash, it's paid. He said even if not, so then it'd be a new loan. But his main thing he holds is cash. What kind of cash is it? It's not cash, it's paid to the order. So this check the halacha wants to explain.
Suppose you write cash on check.
Still, you're paying to the order of whoever. We're going to see that it still doesn't make that cash. You can write cash on my glass case, but that doesn't make a cash.
Yeah, but the bank's not going to pay your glass case; they will pay.
Whatever it did until now, it'll continue to be. Right. So, the way I understand what he understands, is that a check is worth something. Forget the fact, you know, we're talking about all the lumdus of the check, you know, what it, you know, the UCC codes and all that. Forget all that. But if someone gives you a check for $10,000, you're going to be happy because you feel like you have something. You can use it, you can sell it to someone for $8,000, you can do something with it. Even if it might not be the full face value of the check, but the fact that this check is something that is usable, something that makes you happy that you use, that you own it, is like Shava Kesef. Right? Shava Kesef is like Kesef. Something that has a value of money in Halacha has the same Halachic value as something that has money itself. So even if you don't want to consider the check cash itself, but it's worth cash, so as such, it could be used to wherever cash can be used. There's this other sefer, this other contemporary Dinei Mamonos, he bases it on Ginas V'Radim, that it could even be that it's really like cash itself, but I don't think we have to go there so far to understand Rav Moshe. We can understand that even though it might not be strictly cash, because we said it's not cash, but at least it's something that's worth money, something that has value, can be used as kesef. We do kedushin with kesef, right? You marry a woman, you give her a ring, you could give anything that's worth money, and that's called kesef. Right, so here also this shtar, right? It's worth it. It's worth something, right?
Yeah,
there might be a problem with the rings. Right, you'll tell ahead of time, right? Like if you pay a worker, right? There's a shaila. We'll tell you have to pay your worker on time. So the question is, can you pay him with a check? So according to this, you could pay him with a check. He's expecting $5,000, and this check isn't worth $5,000, but he was expecting to get a check for $5,000, and that's what you gave him, and you're giving him cash value. And according to many poskim, most poskim, maybe all poskim, you'll see the mitzvah like that. That's number two. There's a third sheet that's in between. There's a third opinion that says it's not just merely appointing an agent. On the other hand, it's not as strong as saying, I gave you cash over here. It's something in between. And this is where we get to what Daniel was wanting to say all along. And he's saying that even though, strictly speaking, it's not the way you write a shtar chov, it's not the way you write a document of debt, but the fact that everyone views it as that, the fact that in the world, this is the custom, that when you write a check, there seems to be an obligation that you have to go through with it, and if you cancel it, you have to make good on it. And even by a gift, even though according to Dina de Menchusa, writing a check as a gift, you could rescind because there was no consideration over there. But the minig, I think, is, and a lot of poskim say, that the minig is that you do go through with it, even though it was only a check and there was no consideration. You didn't get anything for it. So many poskim, this Pischei Choshen, this is the way he ends up, he brings others that hold that even though it's not strictly speaking a shtar chov, a normal shtar chov, where it says, I hereby owe you money, but it has that same effect. This check b'halacha brings down from the Divrei Chaim, and the Divrei Chaim says in Yiddish, if you would have said, in Tzolden dear, I'll pay you, and that's the way the nusach they used to have, he says, even though that's not saying I am obligated to pay you, but since that's the minig, that's the custom to write, and everyone knows when you write such a nusach, you write these words, that implies that you are going to obligate yourself, so that's the custom, and that does obligate yourself in going through with it. So it's not strictly speaking a debt document, it's not a loan document, it's not a document that forces me to pay you per se, but since that's what most people understand it as, so it does have that status. Now that wouldn't help you to acquire karka with it, to acquire real estate. Like we said before, you need a document the seller gives to the buyer, and here the buyer is not giving the seller anything seemingly, but that we're going to see soon. Those are the three common ways of understanding what a check is according to halacha. Number one, it's the way we said in the beginning, it just means I'm appointing an agent, my bank, to pay this person money. Number two, it's like cash because it has the value of something, so as such it can make a kinyan. And the third way is it's not just a order to tell my bank. It's not as strong as giving cash, but it does create an obligation for me, an implicit obligation for me to go through with whatever I promised in that check. Now, one practical difference between these ways would be, suppose you gave someone a check and the check got burned up. The check got destroyed. So if you say that a check is like cash, so if I give someone cash and he loses his cash, he lost it, I don't have any further obligation. If you say the check is like an obligation, implicit obligation, so then I still have that implicit obligation. If you say a check is just ordering the bank to give him money, so he messed it up for himself. So I ordered the bank and he had that proof that the bank should give it to him and he lost it, so I don't have to give him any further orders. So that would be one difference. Another practical application possibly would be there are some poskim that hold that to purchase an esrog, the dalad minimum sukkis, you need to use cash. Because we said that midoraisa, to acquire anything you need to use cash. The chachamim said we're worried that the object will get lost, so they said you should take physical possession of it. But if you want to fulfill a biblical obligation to be Yotzei Mitzvah Deoraisa of Esrog, you need to have a kinyan that works Deoraisa. So they say you have to give cash. So will a check work in such a situation? So it'll depend. If you say that a check is just saying, you're telling the bank, give him money, so you didn't give him cash. If you say that the check is worth cash, so you gave him cash. If you say the check is an obligation that you're going to pay him, so there that might not be cash either, and it could be that he wouldn't fulfill that need to do that. I mean, that's a chumra. You don't really have to do it, but there is such a idea. Okay, so I want to get to some of the Gemaras, which is some Gemaras tonight. Lemaisa, can you use a check to buy karka? So the truth is, it's an old shaila. The Shach already deals with a similar shaila, and that is because around 400 years ago, there was something used in Europe, all over the world, the civilized world, at that time called a mamrani. A mamrani is based on the Gemara on the first side of the handout. The Gemara in Bava Basra says, "How shtara denafag levidin de Rav Huna?" A shtar showed up in Rav Huna's court. It was a document. Davi Kasebe, it was written on that document. Ani ploni bar ploni levisi mana mimcha. I so and so, the son of so and so, borrowed money from you, and it didn't say who the you is. Amar Rav Huna says that's worthless because mimcha, when you say from you, afi mirosh gulusha, maybe he got it from the head of the galus, or afi mishvar malka, maybe from the melech shavar, the king, right? Just because you found it, maybe it was written out to the king and he dropped it and you picked it up. If it doesn't say the name of the recipient, it's worthless. Rav Chista though disagrees, And Rav Chisda says such a document is valid because we assume the person that has it has rights to it. We assume that either it was written for him or was transferred to him, but the person that has it has rights to it. Now, that only works, though, if there's two witnesses on it, and it has a regular din, a regular rules of a document, the regular rules of a shtar. You need two witnesses, and then it's valid. If there's no witnesses, so then he could just say, oh, you say that you forged it. That's nothing. That's not worth anything. Now, in the times when they wanted to have commerce, it was very inconvenient to carry cash around all the time. So that's why they invented this idea of writing a draft, an IOU. But the IOU was limited, because I go to the fair, and I pay this guy money, I say, I don't pay him, I say, I owe you $10,000 for your steel, for whatever it is, and he has to come to my house, to my town and collect it. That's not going to be so good. So they started writing shtaros like this Gemara that says, I owe you money, and then if he gives it to someone else, that other person could collect from it. But that's still inconvenient, because it's not only inconvenient, but the problem is, if that other person ends up coming to me, I can say I paid it already, because you need two witnesses, it's a regular document. So the custom became to write a mamroni, and the ideal of mamroni, it became common practice, and in halacha it had this validity of being a document that I owe you money, even if there are no witnesses on it, and I can't claim that I paid you. It had that effect. They invented this idea. This was what the merchants invented, this thing called a mamroni, that if I would write, I so-and-so owe $10,000, period, whoever holds that can collect $10,000 from me. And he could transfer it to the next person, and makes it very useful, because now they can go until they get someone from that town, and they'll have that mamroni. Now, that's not exactly like a check, because this is a promissory note. Here, the person writes, I owe you money. A check, we said, is really, I'm just telling the bank to give them money, so it's not really strictly like a check. But the Shach had this question, can you acquire karka with it? And the Shach first writes, I have it a little bit on the second half of the second side of the handout towards the bottom, he says that some people wanted to say, that's not cash, and it's not a shtar, you can't acquire real estate with such a document. They bring proofs. They said, even if you want to say that it's a contract, but we have a rule that a shtar, a document, we learned that it's not subject to the rules of anah, of price fraud, it's not subject to the laws of shomer, if you lost it, all the rules of a watchman, they're not responsible, you don't make a shvua on a shtar chav, it's not called something that's gufo mamon, it's not called something that's money in itself. So they wanted to say, so the same thing, if it's not called money, it can't make a transaction. The Shach disagreed based on the second Gemara on the handout in Kedushin Daf Mem Zayin. The Gemara says over there that if someone tells a woman he has a document, and here we're talking about the Mamroni was written from a third party, so he has a document that says Reuven owes me $100, so I have this shtar, and I go to a woman and say, marry me with this document. So there's a machlokus in the Gemara whether the Kedushin works or not in such a case. What's the machlokus depend on? So the Gemara concludes, the shaila is, because a document, if Reuven owes me $100 and I had this document, I can't marry a woman with it, because Reuven has the right to mochel the loan. He has the right to waive the loan, to forgive the loan. So if I'm giving her this document, she's going to be nervous that Reuven's going to go and be mochel the loan, and it's not like she got real money. The other one says that we don't hold that you're allowed to mochel the loan, and that's why that one holds that you can marry someone with such a document. The Gemara says that everyone could agree that you could mochel it, but here the woman trusted that she knows that he won't let him mochel it. But what you see from here, the Shach says, the only reason this document doesn't work to affect a Kenyan Kedushin by a woman is because this person could be mochel it, the person could waive it. But since a Mamroni, the person's not allowed to waive, that's the way, that was the rule. Mamroni means I owe you the money and I can't waive it anymore. There's no way to get out of it. It's like I lost it and it's gone. So the Shach passed in the halacha that this Mamroni could be used to make a Kenyan of karka. You can acquire real estate with such a Mamroni. That's what the Shach said. So the poskim, this check, the halacha that we're using, says the same thing should be by a check. Even though by a check it's possible to cancel, and this is where they want to make this difference between Eretz Yisrael and America, but I don't think it's a difference. Rabbi Bleif says it's not a difference, because it's just a difference whether it's illegal or not. But even though in both places you can legally stop a check, but the fact that it's illegal unless there's a cause, even in America you're not allowed to do it unless there's a cause, that's makes it very unlikely that the person will cancel it. In other words, why do we say the woman doesn't get married when she gets that loan document? That's because she's worried it might get canceled. But if she wasn't worried it would get canceled, that would affect the kiddushin. If you get a check from someone, you're not really worried that someone behind the scenes is going to cancel the check. Even if you get a third party check, you're not really worried someone's going to cancel that check, because that's common practice. People pay with checks. You're right, if it's $100,000 for a house, so then maybe you'll use a cashier's check. You know, maybe such a check wouldn't work. But in normal transactions, when someone gives you a check, you're not worried they're going to cancel it. So even though the rule is a shtar chov, it can't serve as something of value to be kinyan kesef, it's not called kesef in all these other halachas. It's not subject to price fraud. It's all these halachas is not considered kesef in those laws. But when it comes to the kesef that can work to acquire real estate or to make someone chayv misha para by metatulin, so in that case he says the check, the shach said, the mamroni can serve as cash, and the check bahalacha takes that one step further and says the check can serve as cash. And that would seem to be the minig, besides everything, that does seem to be the minig, that checks are considered the minig hamakam, not the malchusa. Once again, that doesn't work. It's the minig. So what we've seen until now, what we've seen tonight, in conclusion we saw that strictly speaking a check is not cash. A check is not a regular loan document. A check, even dinu mechusa, is not a transfer of funds until the bank finally does it. In dinu mechusa, it's not a transfer of funds. It really seems, strictly speaking, just an order to tell the bank to give him something, which should have no halachic effect at all. And we saw there were some opinions that didn't hold, that that's all a check is. A check is just an order to your bank to pay the money. But we have seen, though, that most poskim hold that a check does have some teeth to it. First of all, according to Rav Moshe, we said it's considered cash, it's shava kesef itself. We saw the other poskim said it obligates me to go through with a deal. And even if you want to say this document can serve, documents don't normally serve as kesef to consummate a deal by real estate or by metatlin to make a mishma para, but since a check is illegal to cancel for a wrong reason, so in such a case the check, like the shach said by the mamroni, the check would have the status of cash. And in most poskim, I think, would agree that the check does make a real halacha. It's also the minig that checks, you know, we talked about situmta, and there's different customs. If a handshake becomes a kinyan in a form of transaction in certain areas, that becomes a legal transaction in halacha. So checks certainly seem to be at least that most people think when they get a check. It's finished, even though you go through all the UCC codes and all the other different things and loopholes and everything, but most people, when they get a check, they think the deal is done. They think it's finished. So, and under that basis also, it would seem that a check would be a legal means of effecting a transaction.